everyone that just said that that was a dumb grin in their heads, you're wrong. You know what really blesses my heart so much right now? Well, actually, it's what I see is the church complying with what the government has decreed out of honor, not out of fear. And that's a huge distinction to make. Until the government tells us to sin, we don't really have much of a right to say, get stuffed. Sorry, I'm a bit raw. It's just the way I roll. We're going to have some fun this morning. Well, I am. Has anyone ever heard of health insurance? Anyone heard of health assurance? Can anyone tell me the difference between health insurance and health assurance? Sorry? 40 lashes? No excess? What's the difference? All right, I'll break it down even tighter. What's the difference between insurance and assurance? Because if you know me, you know that I am passionately not a fan of insurance companies. Sorry? Health assurance is from God. I like that answer. Yeah, one's guaranteed. One's for something that's inevitable. And the way the dictionary describes it, which is quite ironic, is like death. It's ironic for us. But it describes assurance as something that is for something that is inevitable. In other words, it has to happen. And it gives the example of death. Well, the beautiful thing we know as Christians is that we have an assurance. And that assurance is the victory of Christ Jesus. And in that assurance, you see, we don't take the full context of assurance when we embrace that. Can we embrace that fully? He's won the victory and he's given it to you. That's like winning gold at the Olympics and then handing it to someone else to say, that's yours now. We didn't earn it, we didn't run that race, but we got that victory. And that is so amazing. That is an assurance that we have. Secure in. So, one of my favorite topics is our perspective on things, the way we see things. So we'll get a little deeper into that, but now I'm going to shift from insurance and assurance and the assurance that we have, and I'm going to talk about a chess game. Who here has played chess? A few people just said badly. That's all right. I'm not looking for a show of hands of the chess masters. But if you're in a game of chess and you really don't know what you're doing, and a few people that put their hands up would still say that, you're in a situation, and every situation you find yourself in, you've got to respond to. So a good chess player is thinking 7 or 8 moves ahead and expects what you just did. But in reality, we live in a world that doesn't have any of that, and literally whatever is in front of them at the time is the situation they find themselves in and the circumstance they're trying to deal with. You know that assurance we have? Why do we have it? From the floor. You guys are good at this. We need it. Why do you have it though? And someone else may not. We know where we're going. Why? He died on the cross, and we receive that truth and stand in faith on that truth. Yeah? Because if you don't believe that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because it's that belief that brings you to that place. So we live in a world that does not have this. A lot of people don't have this. Some people have this. So when we see something in front of us, we have this assurance. When they see that same thing in front of them, they got nothing. They've got that problem, and that's all they've got. They're trying to figure out how to solve that problem. They're not mean people. They're not nasty. But our perspective is huge. So if you're in a game of chess and someone has you in check, what do you do? You've got to get out of check. They didn't say mate, so there must be some sort of avenue for escape. Now, we live a life and we live in a world where the enemy is constantly looking at creation and saying, check, but he can't say mate. He says, check. Now, if our perspective can't see past check, it's a nerve-wracking experience. Because what we have now is a problem that we need to resolve. But when we have an assurance, check doesn't mean anything. Because we have already won this chess game. We cannot lose. Isn't that? I'm a little. Now you know my dumb grin, right? You see, what would it look like if the enemy goes to the entire creation and goes, check, and then everyone that has no assurance goes, and then all those that have assurance go, what that looks like is that we're no different. That's good and that's scary. If we don't look different right now, it's crazy. Like, let's just say we're at level 7 crazy in the world. Like, we'll just turn the news on or just hit any YouTube video right now. We're at level 7 on crazy. Might go up to 50. I'm not saying we're high. But we're at level 7 crazy. And that may not be the last level crazy we get to. Things might calm down a bit to level 5 crazy. But guess what? That's just check. It makes no difference to who Jesus Christ is, was, and is going to be. And the assurance that we have is secure. And the joy in our hearts is there because we see clear. And it's down to seeing clear. Now, I'm going to shift this in another direction to gear it up so that we can see this in a way that is just ridiculously clear. You got your Bibles with you? Good job. Very short scripture, John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is establishing that Jesus is the light of the world. The main scripture is a favorite of mine. It's Luke chapter 11. And we'll start at verse 33, but 34 and 35 and 36. So Luke 11:33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Okay. Now, for those that have sunglasses or are going to be upset by what I'm about to do, cover your eyes. But we have blinds in this church. And I'm going to figure out which way's up. Okay, someone's limited it. Well, we're going to let some light in here for a very clear purpose. Oh, here we go. We got at least to there. How do you stop that light? You put something in front of it? How do you stop that light? You switch it off? You see, and it's been shared many times that you can't turn the light down. You can turn the light down. You can't turn darkness up. So if I said, make this place, turn up the darkness, James. Make the place darker by turning up the dark. James, is physically impossible. Science does not support this. Science supports that light, the absence of light, is the only way to get darkness. That's the only way. We should be ridiculously excited right now. The only way, like what it's saying, to put it in other terms, and Tony was talking about holiness and the video from the Bible crew, what are they called? The Bible Project. And it's amazing, you know, in part of that, we see this transfer. We see the Old Testament cleanliness and holiness saying, sorry, Kim, but you're a leper and I can't come anywhere near you. And this isn't, I'm not trying to be super topical here, but that's real Bible. And so this was a distancing so that I stay clean. Really doesn't consider Kim much. What happens when you sit in the front? yet Jesus had no issue. Jesus had no issue with coming and laying hands on a person who had leprosy. Why was that? Because light has every bearing on darkness, and darkness has zero bearing on light. Darkness cannot touch that. Darkness can try and veil it. Darkness can try and cover it up, try and turn it down, try and switch it off, but it cannot have any bearing on light. It's science, people. And Jesus is the light of the world. No bearing. Now this is, we've got to get this so clear in our heads that darkness has no bearing on light. Because when we're secure in that, Jesus can't be corrupted. Yeah, I'm setting you up. Because you're the light of the world now. Wow. We'll come back to perspective, but let's establish that. Ephesians chapter 5. And the temptation to read from the beginning of the chapter. And Be imitators of God, dear children. Walk in love. I'm a massive fan, but we're going to start at verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Not in darkness. You were once darkness. But now you are the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world, right? In Ephesians it says, now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. That's a good plan. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Turn one page, maybe two, depending on your Bible, and you'll see Philippians 2. Maybe three if you're an expanded version. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining. Oh, man, that hurts. And disputing. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So we are supposed to be different. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay. Almost getting suspicious that we are the light of the world. So let's go to Matthew 5. Familiar verse. Start at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. That, who said that? If you've got a red letter Bible, that becomes very clear. Jesus said you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Goes on about not hiding that light, and let your light so shine in verse 16 before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, it's not about us. It's about him. He is the source of light. If I could have put all these up and all those up, I would have done it not to annoy you, but to show you that light is far greater than darkness. You have... Your perspective is everything in this. Because right now... We'll go back there into Luke chapter 11. The lamp of the body, verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. This is really what are we, how are we seeing situations? And so we have all sorts of inputs. Things that we draw into. Now, I know I've probably picked on the media a fair bit, and that's not my target, but the point is we can consume media. Now, it's not wrong to be it's not wrong to be aware of what's going on, so it's not like this ban that says, no, you can't consume media. But the whole point behind that is that you're full of light. So when you're consuming it, it's for information so you can shine, right? There's a reason, there's a purpose. If you want to consume it for that purpose and that purpose alone. We can let other things veil us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have tough times. And when I do, I don't know about you, my issue generally comes down to how I'm seeing the situation or my perspective on things. So certain things happen, and so I'm constantly challenged and reinforced in the power of the way we look at things and the way we see things. Because if I step away from that assurance, not deliberately, not going, I'm no longer going to believe God has got me covered. It's more a case of circumstances or the problem presents in front of me, and instead of hearing check, I've heard check and I don't know what to do. See, check means there's another move, which is fine. When you've got assurance, there's nothing at all worrying about hearing check. But when you hear check and you are not in that place of assurance, it's, uh-oh, I've got a problem. Uh-oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to resolve this? So it's so important how we look at situations, circumstances. Crazy level 7, crazy level 15, crazy level 5, doesn't matter. Doesn't have any impact. Your assurance is eternal life. And please don't hear me wrong when I say this. Death is a good option for us. It's true. If we are fighting to stay alive as a temporary resident on the planet Earth, when we have eternal destiny, out of fear of losing this, now there's good reasons to fight, so I'll talk about that in a sec, but in fear of losing what we have, then we don't know the assurance. There's good reasons to fight, because if there's purpose and destiny on your life and the enemy's trying to end it short, fight a good fight of faith. That is the fight we are called to. We need to believe this stuff to the point that it actually makes us do something. Can we agree on this? Darkness has zero influence, zero bearing, zero impact on light. Can we agree? If then it has no bearing, it has no impact on light, and we are the light of the world, the world will see something different in you and I. It's not about how well we can share the gospel. It is important to know this word. It is important to be able to communicate the truth of the good news of the gospel. But it is so important that what we say is backed up by how we live. And it's easier to learn what to say than to live as if you have that assurance and you are the light of the world. So it's not forsaking one for the other, but it's saying, let's get the solid foundation in Christ Jesus. Now, if he is the source of light, and you're feeling like you're a little bit, the blinds are down, someone's hit a switch somewhere, where do you go? Where did Adam go when he sinned? He hid. So he's in a place of darkness and he goes, can't go that way, there's light. He goes and he hides from God. So he's in a darker place than he ever was. God says, where are you, Adam? Adam didn't have that assurance. He wasn't in that place. God calls him out. So if our response is to run away and hide when we feel like we're getting overwhelmed with darkness, darkness can't overwhelm you, by the way, but it's more the lies that are the shutters of the enemy to block out the truth of the light and say, you can't look at Jesus. And I say, you can look at Jesus because he's made a way. He's made a way for you to come into the presence of the Father. You have access to the source of light 24/7 simply by standing in a place of faith that says, you accept and love me. And that brings you to the source of light, where you will be a joy to every person who does not know Jesus Christ, even if that joy is enough to get them cranky. It's true. Angry. Or for them to actually see that they have a hope. And then in the midst of chaos, where they really have zero answers, there is an assurance that's available to them. You see, we can't control anyone's reaction. But because we have access to the source of light, no matter where we find ourselves with blinds down or blinds up, we can come back to that position where we see clear the assurance that we have. There's so much we could go through in the Word of God to reinforce this again and again and again and again. This could be a book. Study the word light. Study all those things. Look at it scientifically. You cannot inject darkness into light. It's not possible. God is light. You are light. You have access to that light even if you don't feel like the light. When we consume things, when we bring them in, let's ensure that we do it with the purpose that we were created for. See, the purpose we were created for was to share the love of God abroad in our hearts, to be witnesses to Him, to go into the whole world, preach the gospel, make disciples. That's why we're on planet Earth. That's it. So if we're going to consume this, if we're going to consume that, it is for the purpose to be able to shine, not to deaden our hearts, not to veil ourselves anymore, but the purpose is to shine. So it's not a case of this is right or wrong. This is just let our motives be to one end, the end that God created us for, to shine in a world. The crazier it gets, the more obvious God is real when His believers walk in that truth. And I just want to encourage you, you are that light. You are in the midst of all the crazy, level 7, all the crazy, people look and they go, what is it with these freaks? They don't get it until God takes scales from their eyes, and by the grace and the mercy of God, they see clear for the first time in their life that they are loved, they are cherished, and He is real and He is risen. Yes, you can call it a dumb grin. I'm excited about this, and I can't think of a better time to be alive than right now. And I am excited for where God is bringing the church. And that's all I have.